wonderful to see everybody this evening. I want to thank Scott for filling in for me this morning. Always thankful for the men as they step up and fill in when I am gone or away. And just thankful that we have men that are capable and, more important, willing to step up and sometimes even out of comfortable positions and fill in to preach the word or to teach a class, and it's just good to have men who are willing to take that lead and willing to do so. So I appreciate that, and appreciate others who have done that in the past, and others who have signed up. Maybe there's still some sign-up spots over there on the sign-up list for here in the near future coming up also. I have had a few people ask me as they came in this evening how the lesson went, and the things went over at Southside this morning, and I told them, well, wait until after my lesson and you tell me how it went. So I'm using the lesson I used this morning over there for tonight. I'm going to double up on it. And so tonight we'll be talking about walking in love and service. And so their meeting has been focused on 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. And the first lesson was kind of an introduction lesson, covered the first three chapters, kind of went back to Acts, and did an introduction to the church in Thessalonica, and led it into, but it was focused on excelling more, adding to, continuing to walk and excel more. And as they went from each lesson, last night was to excel more in walking in love and holiness. And then this morning I had talked about walking in love and service and excelling at that, continuing to add to that. And the other lesson this morning was in hope. I'm trying to remember what tonight's lesson is. I forget. But I got another lesson that is going to be brought out throughout the rest of chapter 5 as they finish the lesson up. And so my lesson was to excel in walking in love and service. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this evening. And one of the points I want to make before we get into the lesson is just as we look to Paul, Paul sets a great example for us, and the mindset that as we say add to or continue to grow in or to excel more and more in something is that throughout other parts of his letters, you'll find that he also talks about being content, that we are to be content in a sense of worldly matters. And we can turn and see the times that he was shipwrecked and that he was content, even when he shipwrecked. That he learned to be content when he was starving or whether he had a full stomach. He was satisfied and gave praise to God and continued to work in the Lord. And he was content in those matters. But when it came to his service to God, there was always more that could be done. There was always more that he could be doing. As we've went through a few of his letters in our class, we see that he is in prison and he's still writing these letters. He's still preaching to the prisoners. He's still preaching to the guards. He's still teaching those who are in the church or in this area. And he's still writing letters to churches all over. And so he continued to excel and preach the word. The service is never done. And so the lesson for this evening is starting in 1 Thessalonians 4 and starting with verse 9. And so here it reads, it says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before the outsiders and be dependent on no one. And so, as we look at these verses, the focus is on walking in love and service. But one of the first things that we see as we get into these scriptures is that he brings out, well, there's no need. In brotherly love, there's no need for me to talk to you about it. But I want to bring out a point that there is a need to talk about it. First reason is because as he says there is no need, he goes ahead and talks about it. Because as he's trying to, what he's trying to say is that, look, you guys are doing great. You guys are doing wonderful. You guys have encouraged the brethren in Macedonia. You guys have done some great things. And it's heard all over of the love and the work that you guys are doing. But I want to encourage you to continue to grow in. And so even as we might sit back in our seats and think to ourselves,
I don't need a lesson on this. I, from time to time as we go throughout lessons, that might be the attitude. You see the title, you may get the bulletin, and you read and say, I'm pretty good right here. I don't need to hear this lesson. But it's always good to be reminded. It's always good to know that we can grow and continue in the service of God and continue to learn more and continue to do more with it. We can excel still more. And so I want to bring in a couple points on why I believe there is a need to talk about it, because there's a couple points I want to think about. So looking at 1 John chapter 3, if you will. 1 John chapter 3, and you could start in verse 10 there. 1 John 3. And starting with verse 10. And it says here, it says, by this is evident who are the children of God. And who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is this one who does not love his brother. For this message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So he goes into this, he says, we love one another. This is how we know who is of God and who is of the devil. And you are of God if you what? If you love your brothers. I want to jump down a couple verses. Verse 15, it says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. As it's bringing out here is that it's easy to say, I love you. It's easy to talk to one another and say, oh yes, I love them. Really? I want to guess that by the actions. I would have guessed that by what I've heard you say about brother so-and-so and about your neighbors over here and about that person. Oh, I love the world just like God does. But then it comes to our deeds and our actions, and it's a different picture that we get. We can say one thing, but our actions will say another. Just as you can turn to James chapter 2, we talk about faith with our works. It simply applies with our love also in what we say about loving one another. James chapter 2, and you read there in verse 15, and it says here, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? I love that person, but I'm never going to forgive them. I love that person, but I'm never going to tell them the truth. I love so-and-so, but there's a need to talk about love. Because if we say we love somebody, we've got to learn what that truly means. If we say we love somebody, we have to learn that means it takes action to show that love and to prove that love and to work through you. That love should be moving us. Just as our faith does, and our love for our God. But we also got the opposite effect here. That it can be the opposite thing, is that you might be really good at doing things. You might be a really good helper, and you might be someone who's really good at being here every Sunday, and you're here every Wednesday, and you're here every gospel meeting night, and you always do good things, but then your heart isn't in the right place. You're not doing it for the right reasons. As we turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and reading in verse 2, it says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring and patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. I tell you what, stop there. Let's be done, because that sounds like a good words to me. Because if we stop there, man, we'd be like, this church is on fire. This church, when someone comes in and they say, I'm a Christian, I'm a preacher of the Lord, they ask me questions. They test the Spirit. And when they find them out to be liars and false teachers, they do not have part with them.
They are enduring the afflictions that come upon them. They are doing the work, and they're not weary in doing it. Problem is, as you read verse 4, and verse 4 says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." It says, but this one thing is missing, and it's a big thing. Your heart's not in the right place. The reason that you test these spirits is not for the right reason. The reason you're here every Sunday and every Wednesday, every night at a gospel meeting is not for the right reason. The reason that you go and you might take food to somebody who is sick and unable to get out themselves or do stuff, it's not for the right reason. And understand, we're going to be judged if our hearts are in the wrong place. Again, we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As you read here, looking at verse 1, it says, "If I speak and tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." You can give everything you have. You can lay your life down. But it says, but if your heart is not in the right place, if you do not love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if you do not love your neighbor as yourself, if you do not have brotherly love, then personally for you, it does you no good. You gain nothing. Now, action-wise, we can sit here and say, yes, that person got fed. Yes, people here saw you. And they might be encouraged because they don't know where your heart's at. We simply can't judge one's heart. We don't have that capability as God or God does. But that's what God will be looking at. God will be judging our hearts. And so without love, we simply do not gain. So there is a need for us to talk about love. There is a need to make sure that our hearts are in the right place with one another. So the next thing I want to talk about this evening, as we go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, is that you're going to see that the reason they had no need to be taught or to be written about brotherly love is because they had been taught already by God. Make sure we understand who it is we're going to learn from. I understand it's not necessarily bad to say, I want to be like brother so-and-so. I want to make sure that one day I am like this person. I've heard other people say it. I've said it myself, and it's not wrong. Because as Paul was able to say, be imitators of me, for I am an imitator of Christ. And hopefully our brothers and sisters in Christ are doing the same thing. They are imitating the Lord and hopefully pointing you to Christ. And that's why we can say, I want to be like them because they are to me the best image I can imagine of what Christ-like means. Especially if a congregation of elders, that's something that we should be able to say. It's like, I want to be like them one day. Because we have chosen them because they have fallen into these roles and have been qualified because they have went and done the work and they are followers of the Lord. They were taught by God just as we should be taught by the Lord. Going back to 1 John 3, again we read this earlier, but verse 16, just that verse again, it says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Again, why do we lay our lives down? Because Christ has shown us how to. Because Christ has shown us our love. We learn what love is because God has shown us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this love of God was made manifest among us
that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us. Sent His Son to be a proposition for our sins. God is love. We know what love is because God is love. Again, down in verse 19, that's what it says. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We learn from God. We learn from our Lord on how we are to love. And then we see that that love took action. He didn't just create us and say, I love my creation. I love the world. But they are doomed. They have sinned. They have fallen short. And I'm not going to do anything about it. No, but rather, He made a plan. And when He made the plan, He fulfilled the plan all the way up to sending His only begotten Son down to die for us. And not just die, but be crucified. He sets the example. Our Lord loves us. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2. It says here, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave Himself up for a fragrant offering and sacrifice. Let us learn from God. Let us open up our Bibles and study and see how much exactly our Lord loves us. Let's see how it is that He loved us and He was willing to say it and proclaim it, and then He was willing to walk the walk also. Let us learn from God, who is love. He is the definition of love. And as we learn from our God, we're going to see who it is exactly we are to love. As you would go back to Thessalonians there, 1 Thessalonians 4, you're going to see and talk about brotherly love. And it seems that's the main focus there. But if you turn there, you will also see at the end of those verses that we have read in 1 Thessalonians 4. And you look at verses 11 and 12. As he gets done talking about the love and service of loving one another, it says, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. And so, as it talks about our brotherly love, it's also making that mention of making sure that we set the example unto others and that we are shining the Lord's light. And the only reason we do that is because we love all. And we desire everyone to be saved just as God does, and therefore we desire all to be our brothers and sisters. And so I'm going to talk about brothers and sisters here in just a minute, but I want to talk about a couple other points. And the first one is to look in Matthew chapter 5, verses 42 through 48, and see that we are to love our enemies. We are to love our enemies, that we are to pray for them and bless them and do good unto them. But I want to just look at one verse here that helps us understand it a little bit better. Matthew 5. Let me get to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 48, looking at that last verse, as it reads there, it says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Why do we love our enemies? Because that's what God has done. We are to go the extra mile, not just love our friends and family, because that's even what our enemies will do. That's what the sinful will do. They love their friends and their family and those who do good unto them. But God sends the rain on the just and unjust. God sent His Son to die for us while we were still sinners. Meaning we were on the opposite side at the time and point. So God sets an example to love our enemies. We see that we have a love for our spouse as we turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And you read through there. Again, it's about looking to the Lord to know how to love.
Because as we talk to wives, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And another example, as you continue to read, as the church submits to the Lord. And so it's about that relationship between God and us and the relationship between the Lord and the church. And so we look to the Lord to know how to love. And we speak to the husbands. It says, husbands, love your wives as the Lord has loved the church. Again, it's about looking to the Lord. He is the one that's going to teach us how to love. He's the one that's going to show us how to treat one another, how to be patient, and how to help, and how to forgive. Look to our Lord, and He will show us the way. He is the light.
Even as we go to our children, we see what the relationship is supposed to be like. As we say, as children are to the parents, that we're to respect them, to honor them, to lean on them, to cling to them, because we can't do anything on our own. We can't make our livings on our own when we were kids. We couldn't make our own food, and so we rely on our parents. As children of God, we should rely on our Father up above.
Parents are to not just do everything to chase their children away, but in love to serve them, and in love discipline them, in love teach them, and raise them in the admonition of the Lord. Again, that relationship we have with our Father, with our Lord, is going to show us how we are to love one another. As your parents get older, and they may need to be taken care of as they took care of you younger, we turn to this 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, and see there that if a widow has any children or grandchildren, that they are to go take care of them. Looking to the Lord and how we are to love one another. In Luke chapter 10, if you will turn there with me, and looking at verse 28, Luke chapter 10 and verse 28. Going back to verse 25. It says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up and said to him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to them, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you shall live. The first and greatest commandment, again, is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We are to love our Father up above. Love our God. Love our Savior. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. And when we talk about loving our neighbor, it comes down to loving everybody. Loving all. Because the lawyer wanted to justify himself, and he goes a little further and says, well, who is my neighbor? And so we get the parable here of the Good Samaritan. And we're given the example of two men that technically, according to tradition of times and customs over there, that these two people just weren't supposed to get along. But yet, he was considered the neighbor because he's the one that helped the person that he did not know, saw on the side of the road that was beat and robbed and left for dead, and he took him to the innkeeper and treated him and paid for everything. But who's the neighbor? Everyone should be our neighbor. We should be treating everyone with love and care. And then it comes down to especially our brethren. We should have a love for one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as we went to that text, here it says concerning brotherly love. You can turn to Galatians chapter 6 with me, if you will. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, we'll read here, looking at verses 9 and 10. It says, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith." Again, the love we have for all. And doing good unto all, and forgiving everyone, and being patient with all. But then it comes to this right here. Especially the household of faith. Especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, as we said, we are taught by God. God sets this example. Because God sent His Son to die for all. But the crown of righteousness is only going to be given to those who are faithful till that day He comes. He sets the example. He is willing to forgive everybody. But only those who come to Him and keep His commandments and are willing to submit to Him will be forgiven. Again, as you go and study the Old Testament, you look to the children of Israel and see the example that is set there, that when the children of Israel were caught up in idolatry and they were caught up in sin, and then they would go ahead and make their sacrifices to the Lord, He would not accept that sacrifice. Not until they rid themselves of the idols, not until they rid themselves of the sin and willing to confess to God, saying, God, I have sinned. God, I have fallen short. God, I have put that behind us. Please forgive us. And then when they made those sacrifices, it would be a sweet aroma unto Him. But we have to remember, just as it was told to Saul, that God would rather obedience than sacrifice. You can come here every Sunday and put money in that collection plate, but if your heart's not in the right spot and you're not doing it for the right reasons and you're doing evil and sin out in the world, what good, what gain is that doing for you? We must love one another. And so we look at serving in love. Serving one another in love. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3 gives us an idea of what serving one another in love. It's a mindset that we have to have as we go towards one another. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. This is what it means when we say we need to walk in love and excel even the more, that when we go towards and we help one another, that we are going to do it with love, that we're going to be patient with one another. We're going to be kind with one another. We're going to try to have an understanding mind with one another. Again, we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read 1 through 3. You can read verses 4 through 7 and read about what love is and what love is not. Because in verse 4 it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Again, we can step back and say, I love. And then ask ourselves, sit back and ask, well, does my love match up with this? Is it humble? Is it kind? Is it considering others? Or is it selfish? We have to have a good attitude, a good heart when we go about the work of God and keeping His commandments. And so we can look at a couple of examples, and there are many that we can look at, but when we just pray, you know, there's an older song, it's kind of rude when you think about it, and I'll be straightforward and just rude. And I pray for you. And it talks about the preacher coming, talking to him, and he took the preacher's advice to pray for his girlfriend who has broken up with him. So I pray for you. I pray that this pot will fall down and hit you in the head. I pray that, you know, all these bad things. That's not what it's talking about. Or rather, we are to pray for each other for the good and kindness and of loving heart. While we know that we have enemies and God says vengeance is mine, while they still live and have breath in their life and their lungs, we pray that they will at least see the truth and repent of their sins and make their lives right with God. And do no one else harm as they might have done you. We pray for one another, whether that's for enemies or our brothers and sisters of Christ. We come to James and it tells us confess our trespasses to one another. Because the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And again, understand that that means we are a tight-knit family and we trust each other. And we don't look at these front pews that when we extend the invitation, I'm not going up there. I don't want people to know my business. I don't want people to know that I have fallen short and that I am weak. But rather, we should say, this is my brother and sisters in Christ. These are the people I trust the most. These are the people that are here to help me get to heaven. And so therefore, I want to lean on them. And we're able to confess our trespasses, our faults, our struggles to each other. And we will pray for each other and help each other to get to heaven. Or to have that love as we go into prayer. As we rebuke one another, as we discipline each other. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, if anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Again, Matthew, as it tells us, when the brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Why? So that if he hears you, you gain your brother back. With love. Jesus said, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. As we discipline our children, it's because we do it out of love. We want them to grow up. We want them to know that you can't go run out in front of the cars. And so when they do it a couple times, you give them a spanking. You get on to them. You might stir your voice a little more so that they are afraid to run out in front of a car. We have to be willing to discipline, but it has to be out of love. When we come together and we sing, we're seen to teach and admonish one another. We're seen to praise God and give thanks to Him. And so therefore, it's with melody and grace in our hearts. But too often, we want to get back and say, well, I'm not going to sing out because I don't have a good voice. I'm just going to move my mouth. But how does that show your love to your brothers and sisters in Christ who are sitting around you? They cannot be taught by you if you are not seen. They cannot be admonished by you if you are not seen. Where is the love behind our actions? That is what's going to motivate us. That's what's going to teach us. That's what's going to push us to want to learn to do things better. That love we have for one another. Why we gather together to worship. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It says we can encourage one another, we sing and teach, admonish one another, we pray for each other, and so much more as we know the day is drawing close. We think the time is almost there. That means we need to be doing it even more. The love we have for each other. I finished this evening with 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and looking at verse 14. As it reads here, it says, let all that you do be done in love. There's a need to talk about love. Even to a church like Thessalonica where it seems things are going pretty well. And he says, you guys are doing great, but I encourage you to excel even more. To continue to add that to that faith. Continue to add to that love. Maybe you do good with a certain amount of people here. That means we need to start looking to see who we can add to that love. Who else we can show that love to. Who else we can serve and help. We may be doing good at leading prayers or getting up and doing a certain spot. And maybe it's time to say, how can I help the congregation grow even more? What more can I do for the brethren here? What can I do? What can I learn? So we excel even more. We add to the talents that God has given to us. I do not want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you are here, you've yet to obey the gospel, to accept the love of God and say thank you to Him and be baptized and allow Him to wash your sins away. We encourage you to do that this evening. If you're here this evening and you need to pray as a congregation, we encourage that you do that also. If there's anything we can do for you, please let it be known as we stand and sing.